What a day the Lord has made for us to be glad, to worship, to exalt, to declare, and to praise His name to the rooftops. It is November 25th, 2028, and I don't know about you, but He is good today as He was yesterday, and He'll be as good tomorrow as He is today, because He never changes, never wavers. He is our all. And all, our shelter, our fortress, our rescue, our ransom, our redeemer. He is my all in all. As Paul says at Mars Hill, I love it, Redeemer, Miss Jeannie's shirt here. As Paul said in Mars Hill, in Him I move and in Him I have my being. I'm here to declare to you to the unknown God. And he said, I perceive in all things you are very religious, superstitious. But I'm here to tell you about the unknown God. The one you've really been looking for, because in Him all things were made, created for Him, by Him, and through Him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, it's Tuesday morning, so that means we got the Raise a Hallelujah crew with us.
Amen.
It's an extensive crew, but they were all able to get in here this morning. Miss Jeannie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm still better than most.
Amen.
I sit in the right seat. I sit in the seat that I get a good view at Jesus at the right hand of the Father.
That's a good seat now.
Hallelujah.
That's a good seat.
Miss Karen, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm walking toward the same seat she's sitting in. I like that seat.
It's a nice seat, huh?
Yes.
And Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Seated in heavenly places, but I would say
that's what I saw.
I would say still filled with gratitude, but even extra during this time. Mm-hmm. Just getting to gather with family that sadly we don't see as much as we probably should, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to see people that you don't normally get to see around this time of year. So mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, we've got don't have a lot of announcements. Go ahead and put in your calendar December 10th. We'll be doing our Christmas production here, concert and little play, and that's going to be December 10th if you'd like to come out for that. And then we have, let's see here, Todd's going to be going to Honduras. He'll be leaving in just a couple of days, so make sure you're covering that in prayer as well. And then do I miss any right now, Hannah? I don't have my phone. I don't have anything. So I've got the iPad, but
it
don't
under your pillow.
It
Where
don't have
it?
All my notes on there. I can't find them.
You're like me. I set mine down and leave it.
No, it's my phone is shattered and broke and demolished, and so I haven't had it since last Friday.
Wow. There
is. How's that? How's that work for you?
I plead the fifth, Miss Jeannie.
I like it.
It's in the repair shop, but it may be late this week or early next week before I get it back. So
wow. So people have to actually walk to you to give you a message.
Yeah.
Or text message me. I mean, but it's.
Oh, they can do that.
They can text me on my iPad. But,
okay.
He has to go over that.
But you have to have Wi-Fi,
phone.
Right?
No, my iPad's got data.
Oh.
I can get internet anywhere on my iPad. But it's still, I feel like it's slower. Like sometimes I feel like it's slower to get to the iPad. And
the messages.
Yeah. So you're talking about
does it fit in your pocket?
No, definitely not.
It's one of them old age, you know, back then when you were young, Mom, kind of iPads,
yeah.
You know.
It's about the size of a TV.
Uh-huh.
But I guess it is better because it can't fit in your pocket, so it's not going to be on you at all times.
No, I've had it with me quite a bit. I feel like a goon walking around with a little iPad.
But, what's a goon?
I will say, like, I'm an extrovert. Like, I always
really?
Wanted to be an introvert, but I'm an extrovert.
You're
I
don't know shocking me.
Yeah,
I
know
people.
It's a shocking thing. But
I've
like,
never known it.
I like talking to people, and I love that. And so I do miss my phone for that. Like, yesterday, I still have to make calls. And so I was on the phone still a lot yesterday. We was working on some technical things here, trying to get all that leveled out because we have an issue going on. And then I had some other things in the church going on. So I was like using Jackson's phone and Heather's phone. And I was just I'd have to go to my iPad, get their numbers and dial it. And Roger's like, you called me for four different lines today. I was like, I know. Just keep answering, Roger. Just keep answering.
Was you that way before you were born again? How were you
absolutely
before
not.
That?
Absolutely not.
I was just curious because, see, I wasn't either. And people think you just naturally are this chatty. But it didn't come that way.
No, I mean,
it came after his presence hit the house.
I mean, I've shared this before, but I mean, I was literally the kid in high school that was that would never talk in public. Like I remember, I think it was like a U.S. history class or something. I had to do a project,
mm-hmm.
and I had to get up and talk in front of 25 people, and I was like literally tearing up and stuttering. Like
I cut
couldn't
that
say
class.
Anything.
I cut.
I would ask to take an F before I would talk in front of anybody.
I was the same way.
And now it's like literally it's my life to talk in front of people. and it's the Lord. I mean, and I'm still not good at it, as Hannah says. She reminded me. She said, people like you because you're not eloquent. And I was like, I got that good.
See, but all your words go out, and they're just kind of like floating in the air, and then the Lord just says, okay, that one.
Yeah, I'll take that one. I'll throw that one at people. And I'll throw that one at people. I just talk really
fast.
I just talk really. I mean, I remember, and I'm still not the great pronunciator at words, I guess you could say, or orator, but I remember when I was 18 or 19 or 20, I couldn't even like say specific. I would say
Pacific.
And so my grandpa would always get on to me about this kind of stuff. And I know it's the Lord that's helped me, because now I can actually, if I focus in and don't goof off, I can say big words and talk a lot of things. But I'm like, that's all the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a below C average student in high school.
Right here.
I slept.
Sure. It's your camp right here.
I don't think. I really don't know if I remember doing homework one time in high school. Like,
wow.
I just didn't do it. I would just put anything down, sleep. I remember falling asleep during the ACT test in the math portion. Like, it was just, I was not a good student. And then I got born again, and then in college, I have a 3.8 or 3.9 GPA. Like, it was just the Lord.
Uh-huh.
It was all the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the Lord.
Being you so disinterested in schoolwork, how'd you end up in college?
The Lord.
Okay.
I wanted to go for, I felt like he was calling me into pre-law. And,
wow.
And so I went,
wow.
I immediately went to pre-law. And I was going to be a lawyer to, really my whole goal in life basically was going to abortion and pro-life. Kind of like what Liberty Council does.
Right.
I was going to be a lawyer. And I went pre-law and at Lee. And then I quickly changed to theology with a minor in Greek and Hebrew. The problem is I never got to Greek and Hebrew because I was getting taught so much.
You got Spanish, man.
Poquito. Poquito. But that was kind of the journey. And then I just, after a year and a half, college wasn't for me, and I came home and got in the Bible myself. And that was probably one of the greatest things mm-hmm. I ever did, not to try to – I'm not a fan of college. I'm not going to discourage people from going. If my kids want to go and they want to go to Lee, I think great. Like, that's where all my kids want to go is Lee. And I'll be happy to send them off there.
Right.
But I feel like that for me, college would have not helped me.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it would have hurt me mm-hmm. I needed the Bible mm-hmm. and not a cemetery. And so.
Ouch.
And so I've seen a lot of great men and women of God go in one way and come out another,
mm-hmm.
and it scared me.
Well, my daughter and son-in-law came to me several times questioning things that they had grown up knowing something and then came to me out of college on the opposite side of it.
Yeah, and unfortunately.
Or questioning.
Unfortunately, this has happened in actual Bible schools. Like,
yeah.
not just secular universities. This has happened in Bible schools.
Right.
And so, and I think Lee's an incredible school. Like I do. Like I said, I would be very much, I wouldn't mind it going to send any of my kids to it. But it's just, for me, I was struggling with some of the things being taught, like
mm-hmm.
the gospel of Q that kept getting brought
mm-hmm.
up. And I'm just, I'm an opponent to a gospel of Q. And it was a lot of feminism in one class. Like it's just one class. I'm not here to pick on, I'm not here to slander or bash. Cause I want to preface that. I think it's a really good school. I'm so thankful because in that school, I made connections that I have still today that helped change my life for the better. Like I had the right relationships. There were some professors that were absolutely amazing. But there was one class that it was supposed to be a pastoral counseling class or something like that. And it was nothing more than feminism. And it was just those kind of things that really hit me. But then you had other classes like Professor Barnett with U.S. History that may be the best professor in the history of the world. Like, he was he was tough. I studied 20-something hours for the first test and still made a B.
Wow.
He was tough. I ended up with an A in that class, but he pushed me, and he made me learn how to be a student, and he made me love U.S. history. It was, and so you have that too. So, I mean, I guess that's every school, but I know for what God was calling me into, I got a taste of a John Piper sermon, and my love for theology just took off, and I just dove. I dove headfirst into it, and that was the season of my youth. I don't know how we got into this, but.
I asked a question.
Oh, there you go, Miss Jeannie. That's the interview. I never,
that was a really big answer.
Questions can lead you
to really big answers.
Yeah, yeah, they can. And
maybe somebody needed to hear it this morning.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Oh, do I need to get to the other events?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So the there is a Christmas celebration at Memorial Chapel Church of God. That's on December 7th at 10:30. Special guest will be Norma Hall, who does Bible character monologues and will be doing her portrayal of Mary. So that'll be there on December 7th at 10:30.
Yeah, I will be doing my portrayal of the donkey and the Balaam story.
Oh, and they... They want me to announce the turkey trot, too, in Litchfield.
Oh, absolutely.
There will be a turkey trot 5K starting, I believe, at Made for More Fitness. And then I'm not sure where all it's going to go, but you start there. And
it's a 5K. So I think they usually run up the road all around there.
Check in at 8 a.m. and starts at 9 a.m. on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they do. They always put on some... They did a really good job with the cancer run not too long ago. And both times I've been injured because I was running both 5Ks. Like, I had planned to run both of them. And here I am injured again. And so got a herniated disc in my back.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks to that deadlift. Just first it was a nerve in my neck, and now it was a herniated disc in my back. So I love lifting weights. I say that.
We love it. We should talk about prayer this morning. Healing. Yeah.
Well, I feel so absent without all my notes in my phone. I just got to get my iPad set up right until this thing's fixed because I don't know where I'm going. You know, Miss Jeannie, when you talk about not having your computer or something like that, you feel like, where's my computer?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Well, my phone's set up just right. My phone is set up just right for all my notes and my Bible apps and how to keep me focused, and my iPad is not. So I'm like, where's all the stuff? It's driving me nuts.
Got to learn, build them both that way.
I don't use my iPad a lot, and so it wasn't set up perfectly like I need it, but I guess I'm going to have it. I do like the bigness of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
As I get older, I need that.
Yeah, that's what I like about it.
And you can make it bigger and bigger and bigger.
Uh-oh. She looked at you and she said, that's not me.
Yeah. She knows.
I got the frames.
Right, right.
Now I just need windshield wipers.
Uh-huh. And defoggers.
All right.
Hosea chapter 10, verse 3. We are, let's see here. We are not too far away, just a few more chapters. And then we'll start the book of Acts.
I'm excited.
Woo.
Hosea 10, verse 3, for now they will say, we have no king. We do not fear the Lord, and a king, what could he do for us? They utter mere words. With empty oaths they make covenants. So judgment springs up like poisonous weeds in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria tremble for the calf of Bethaven. Its people mourn for it. And so do its idolatrous priests. Those who rejoiced over it and over its glory, for it has departed from them. The thing itself shall be carried to Assyria as tribute to the great king. Ephraim shall be put to shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his idol. Mm. Again, I'm still looking for this answer. So if you have it out there, if you have this answer, I want to know. As far as I can understand, Hosea is the only book that refers to Israel as he or his. Hmm. I don't know any other book. It's always the pronoun her.
Mm.
But Hosea refers to Israel as his or he. And I just feel like there's something, and I can't find it. So it just, It's always there in front of my face every time I read this. But anyways, it's Hosea's rebuking them for their idolatry. They're worshiping, again, as Hosea has said, the little wood, little piece of wood they crafted with their own hands. They're looking to their staff to give them oracles. They're giving their hearts over. They say they have no king, which basically is saying, we have no God. We don't fear the Lord anymore. And the Lord is going to turn them over. The glory has departed from them. The idol they were worshiping is going to be handed over to Assyria. And there's great judgment coming. And Ephraim's going to be put to shame. And Israel should be ashamed of his idol. And it's like, there's coming a day when this idol is going to come back to really cause great shame to come upon Israel. In verse 7, go ahead, Mr.
James. I was just going to say, in verse 6 in the King James, it says, "And Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just how those are connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, when you are worshiping a piece of wood and you're expecting your staff to give you counsel or oracles, guess who's going to really be giving you the counsel? Mm-hmm. It could be demonic or it could be yourself. Like, you might be giving your own self. And that, how easy would that be to sit there and tell people, "I went to the box and this is what it said." It's a great tool of manipulation, control, and power.
Yeah.
Verse 7, Samaria's king shall perish like a twig on the face of the waters. Now, I think you have to see what Hosea is prophesying here. The king of Samaria, it's just a little twig. To them, he's big. But the Lord says, just like a twig in the water, he's going to disappear because he's nothing compared to me. He's nothing. And I think,
again, in the King James, it says the foam upon the water.
The foam upon the water.
Yeah.
"And the high places of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. Thorn and thistle shall grow up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, 'Cover us,' and the hills, 'Fall on us.' From the days of Gilead, you have sinned, O Israel. There they have continued. Shall not the war against the unjust overtake them in Gilead? When I please, I will discipline them, and nations shall be gathered against them, and when they are bound up for their double iniquity. Ephraim was a trained calf that loved to thresh, and I spared her fair neck. But I will put Ephraim to the yoke. Judah must plow. Jacob must harrow for himself. Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you."
Yeah.
Whew.
I know.
It's a call to repent. All this, and he's saying, but now is the time, guys. If you're ever going to repent, now is the time. He says, "Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." Mm. I love
that's
that.
It's a word for right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, isn't it? It really is.
Can you just mentally picture that rain righteousness down? I can just see it. And he says, "But you have plowed iniquity. Mm-hmm. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own ways and in the multitude of your warriors." Whew. I still think this is so relevant and prevalent to who we are today.
You can't hardly go back in the Old Testament and not find it.
Yeah. Therefore,
in every book.
"Therefore, the tumult of war shall rise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be destroyed, as Shalem destroyed Beth Arbel on the day of battle. Mothers were dashed into pieces with their children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great evil. At dawn, the king of Israel shall be utterly cut off."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling them, "I want to rain righteousness on you, but you're sowing into unrighteousness." Mm-hmm. You're sowing into sin. You're sowing and plowed. He didn't say sowing. He said you plowed iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
You have broken up the ground and sowed iniquity into it.
So you could. That's right. So you could.
Mm-hmm.
That's there in 13, one of the references to it is Galatians, which is, you know, God's not mocked.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's why we're still walking in this today, because he didn't change. Don't be deceived. He said, God's not mocked.
Yeah.
"Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh," which is going on here, "shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows into the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That sounds like rain, righteousness mm-hmm. being rained down. Yep. I mean, it does. Mm-hmm. So, could it be raining on one side of the street and not the other?
Yep. Yep. Seen it happen.
I have too.
I had said this Sunday morning. I don't mean to keep bringing up Sunday morning sermon, but it's with me
go
in
ahead,
my heart.
I didn't get to hear it.
I wanted to preach more on Stephen, but I got caught up in my intro. But I did get to Stephen, and it was, this is actually going to go along with this, is that Stephen is, he's full of the Holy Ghost. That religious spirit of the day, the people, the religious system are so offended because he's talking about God's not dwelling in the temple made by the hand of men no more. He's dwelling in you and I, mm-hmm. friend. And they are like, he's coming against the temple. He's saying Jesus fulfilled it, and no longer Jesus is living there. The glory is now in us. And right. Steve is basically preaching that to him. And what do? They stick their fingers in their ear, mm-hmm. and they shout because they did not want to hear Stephen. And here's the part that sticks with me. Stephen, though, he is seeing an open heaven in the midst of them.
Right.
And they see nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They see nothing. And I feel like this is the same thing with these people. There's an open heaven, and he's like, I want to reign. And there probably is people on the earth at that point that he is reigning upon. But the people as a whole, they become so consumed with plowing into iniquity that they could not see the move of God right in front mm-hmm. of them because they were not willing to seek the Lord. And Stephen was able to see an open heaven. This was before he was stoned. A lot of times people think, as Jason said yesterday, that it's like Stephen seen an open heaven after the stoning, but he's actually seen in the open heaven before the stoning, and he's seen into heaven, and he's like, I see the Lord, and everybody else just got their fingers in their ear screaming, because the open heaven is available to anybody, because in Acts we learn, in the last day, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. It's not exclusive to the Jew or the Gentile alone. It's inclusive to all of us who will seek him. And so here's Stephen seeing into the glory of God, seeing in the open heaven, and the religious crowds got their fingers in their ear, and the Lord's like, I've got an open heaven for you. I will rain righteousness down if you will seek me. But yet they're plowing into iniquity. Mm-hmm. And it is no different than the church today.
No, it is not.
I'm gonna take it away from the people, the unbelievers, and say it's no different in the church mm-hmm. of America today. Mm-hmm. We have plowed iniquity. We have plowed it. And in my own life, I'm sitting there, I was talking to Larry yesterday on the phone just about the Lord and about, where we're at seasonally in the kingdom of God right now. And it's just like, I want to make sure my heart's ready to receive and to mm-hmm. see. And I can't fix anybody. I can call people to repentance. I can call, but my heart's the one I got to focus on. And I want to make sure that if the open heaven's here, I get to see. I'm seeing rightly because I'm not plowing into iniquity, or I'm not eating from the fruit of lies, and I'm not trusting in my own ways or trusting in your own warriors, which basically means trusting your own ability, your mm-hmm. own strength, your own might. And the Bible reminds us that it's not by my might, but by the mm-hmm. Spirit of God. There's not one thing that I can do to bring revival outside of get into his presence. I can't manipulate it. I'll never sing good enough. I'll never preach good enough because it's not by my might. It just that all that does is facilitate growth and equip people. But real moves of God happens when my people are humble, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and they will turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land.
But nothing will stop you from having a personal revival. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And so that's, who was it that said, if you burn, they'll show up and watch you burn. If you catch
John
on fire.
John Wesley?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what that was. I mean, he had that personal revival going, and they showed up to see him burn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I'll...
I want to be that.
I probably thought about this a lot. I don't even venture to say how many times I thought of this plaque since I saw it on a picture about a week or so ago. It's been in my spirit. It's like a reel just keeps playing. I just see that plaque all the time in my head. But it's at and it probably spoke so much to me because of being an elder and leader in a church. It was a meeting table at a church that the leadership team meets. And on the corner of this table is a pretty good size plaque. So it's not small. It's a pretty good size plaque for a table. And it's a reminder for the team every time they meet. And it's what it says. This is not a business table. This is an altar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying, This is the place where we meet God to get direction for his people.
Amen.
It's not where we bring ideas. It's not where we get more innovative. It's not where we just talk business. This is where we meet with God.
That's the opposite is, you know, where we have ideas and where we get, you know, whatever, our self-direction or whatever in those kind of places. That's what's brought us to where we are now in the church. You know, there's been, you know, so many times in the past that they didn't go to that meeting with the intention of this is an altar. They went with the intention of coming up with a big idea, a better idea of how this thing's going to go.
Yep.
And, you know, I read this story one time about these two pastors and these two worship leaders, one in each church. And one pastor, you know, he didn't struggle at all getting his sermon together. He just wrote down, you know, and he had it done by Monday for the next week. And the worship leader was the same. Came in, picked out a few songs, and we're ready to go. But the other worship leader and the other pastor, they struggled all week long. They prayed and prayed and prayed, and they wrestled with it, and they wrestled with it. And they came up on Sunday morning, and they went into church with what they had wrestled with all week to get where they needed to be. And one place, the Spirit of the Lord was alive. The other one, he wasn't there. And it's that place you're talking about where we have to come into sitting down with him. It's almost like every time we go, it's almost like when we pray, it should be that place where we're laying ourselves down on the altar of the Lord to seek his direction, because it is only from that place, us and him in that place, that we see where he's going to take us, or even begin to know what to take as the first step. But it's that place of entering with him that we find that.
I've grown to love that place. You know, even though it's very uncomfortable in the flesh. It is, you know, and I know you know what I'm talking about, because you're up half the night, and but at the same time you like it, you love it, because this is the moment that you have total dependence on him, and you know that if he doesn't anoint you, or if he doesn't direct you in the word, or if you know, because I can give a clever message any day, you can too. Yeah, we've got so much stuff, but I always seek for the fresh word. I always seek for the now word. And each day, if you talk in three times today, all three times, I have to have, which word do you want for this? Which one do you want for this? I never run them across the board. And but it's in those hours of, I don't want to call it stress, but it is a press.
Striving.
It's a press. And while you're pressing, there's always that moment that I'm like, I love being here with you, Lord.
And the incredible thing is that place wouldn't even exist for you if it weren't for him. Even that place would not exist for you if it were not for him pulling on you, drawing on you, enticing you to come, persuading you, you know. And if it weren't for him, that place wouldn't even exist.
Well, I think what the underlining scales here that you're talking about, I don't know how else to say it here, that gets us into the proper scale is the weightiness. I think when we lose the weightiness of what we're doing, and especially the weightiness of what we're handling.
Exactly.
And it's that should be the thing that drives us to a deep place of prayer. Like I'm going to start in the book of Philippians. We're going to start working through Philippians, because I think that's the direction of the Lord. But just because I may have a heads up where I'm going does not mean it's any less weighty.
That's right.
Like, I want the weightiness of the word. And I think that's one thing that we have to guard. And that comes from a place of prayer. That comes from a place of honor. Yes. That comes from a place of the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says in Psalms that the fear of the Lord is clean. It's holy. It's separate. It's different. And when we're handling that with the word of God, and the word of God with the fear of the Lord, it should make us tremble. It should make us, we should be making sure that we're ready. And it's for me, I mean, there's been moments that I'm reading the offering declaration, and I still don't know what I'm going to preach because I haven't got the word yet. And it's like, Lord, like, when are we? I don't even have a scripture at this point. Like, all right, now it's getting pretty serious. But it's like, I don't want to speak without him. Mm-hmm. And
that's right.
And I think that's where, Miss Jeannie, I think what you said is right. If we're not careful, it becomes normal. Mm-hmm. And we can do a clever little sermon. This is not like an arrogant statement, but if you tell me to go speak for an hour, I'm going to go talk for an hour.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, to be honest, with this point. Like that one guy, I looked up the longest sermon ever. It's 96 hours and 52 minutes.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Like he preached for that long as a fundraising event or something like that for the church. I don't know. But I'm like, I could do that. Like, I really do. I think I could preach for, I'd have to go to the bathroom and maybe get some water every once in a while. But I don't think it would be hard.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part for our generation has preaching and leading worship and all this become so normal, easy, and second nature that we've left the trembling before him mm-hmm. for his anointing and his empowerment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I always want to hold on to is there's so often on Sunday mornings, I'll take the anointing oil and I'll touch my lips and I'll pray a prayer. They don't need me this morning. Mm-hmm. They need you. Mm-hmm. And would you just use me as your vessel? Mm-hmm. Hide me behind the clef mm-hmm. because I wanted to hear from you. And I feel like, and I've said this, we're nothing. They don't need to hear from Jeannie. They don't need to hear from Karen. They don't need to hear from heaven. Hannah. They don't need to hear from Aaron. Yeah. They need to hear from heaven.
That's right. That's the way to.
I'm getting stirred up here. Getting stirred up. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, I'm getting stirred up too. I love the word weighty because it is, you know, I used to say the word of God is heavy. It's not heavy. It's weighty. Mm-hmm. It's not hard. It's weighty. You know, and I just love that word compared, you know, in descriptive of mm-hmm. his word and his ways. Weighty.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Let's do a quick break and then we'll come back in here. And we do have, who's our guest this morning? Was it Jeremy? Jeremy coming in? Does that say that on my calendar?
I don't think so.
You didn't.
Is he this? Did you talk to him?
We'll get it figured out on break.
Yeah. Let me see here. I thought I saw it on my calendar.
I could have put it on the wrong one.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't come anyway.
Yeah. So here we go. Let's do our break here. From what tribe was King Saul? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here. We do have an answer for the trivia question. From what tribe was King Saul? He was from Benjamin, 1 Samuel 9, 1 through 2. But Miss K. Decker got that correct. Amen. All right. So if you have interaction, you got a Bible question, you got comments, 270-230-6337. Again, 270-230-6337 is the number to text. Cannot get calls, but I can get texts. Amen. And so we'll be happy to field those questions or get your engagement in there. And if your church has an announcement in this holiday season, you'd like to just get it out here. We'd love to be able to announce it for you and the ministry that God has entrusted unto you. All right, so I guess we'll do this. Miss Hannah, I'm sure you got a Kingdom Corner. We're going to go from Kingdom Corner, and then Miss Jeannie, Miss Karen, whichever one of you all are firing up.
I'm going to wait for Hannah to fire me up, I think.
You are on deck.
We're like you are when, you know, you're waiting for, you're doing the offertory thing, and you're still waiting for that verse. You know, you're still waiting for that teaching right then and there.
We'll have something to say.
He brings
yes,
it.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
All right.
And Brother Jeremy, he will be joining us at some point, but we had a little mix up with phone numbers and different stuff.
We could put it on me. On the air, this one.
I think it's just a misunderstanding, but we are excited to have him back on with us.
Yeah, he'll be upset.
We got many more days for him to join us.
Yes.
And we do really just do appreciate him. And I was talking about his testimony with somebody the other day, and it's just powerful to see somebody's life transform out of addiction.
Amen.
And there's so, so many that need hope that have walked through that too. And it, again, I love how I'm going to get to the kingdom corner, but how it doesn't have to be the same addiction that you've walked through. There are many different addictions.
That's the first thing I thought when you said that. Is, yes. Because you know, I never get tired of seeing anybody's life transformed.
Because anything really, idolatry and addiction is the same. Anything that has a grip on us is an addiction, you know. And so that's why when I hear people's testimony that, yes, it might look different than mine, might sound different, but I can fill in the blank of what was in my life.
And you know, when it happens, and it really happens, it just never changes for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm definitely a testimony of that. You know, the age. Here I am all the way in my elderly life and still feel just like I did in my 20s as far as knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
Same. It doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I see that in Jeremy. And I see that in others. You know, here we are. I see it in there. You know, we've all these years we've been walking with him, and we haven't settled down.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to settle down, you know.
Haven't slowed up. Yeah. Amen.
Because it's a person on the inside here.
Amen.
You know, he ain't going to let me slow down.
Amen. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
So I am in, this morning, Luke chapter 6. Verse 39, and I will start there. So,
all right, with you.
He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. And this is the part that I really was spoken to me this morning, speaking to me this morning, was, can a blind man lead a blind man? And so I never really remember that scripture is in the same context of the speck in your eye. In Luke it is. I don't know if it is in the other accounts. It probably is too. But sometimes, you know, scriptures stick with you, but you forget when they are in the same parable or in the same place. And when they are, it speaks so much volume to what Jesus is trying to say. And here, you know, can a blind man lead a blind? How often does our pride blind us? Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously many things can create a veil over our eyes. Many different things, even just ignorance, mm-hmm. you know. And that's what I always think about when I read that verse, is ignorance, just not knowing, not having the revelation of the Lord, not receiving his word and the light to my path, the lamp to my feet, mm-hmm. to be able to walk it out. But here, all I see here in with the speck in your own eye and the log in your own eye is pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pride of not wanting to look at what is going on in me, but I want to look at what's going on in everybody else because I want to ignore what's going on in me.
Right.
And we talked about that with the religious spirit not too long ago, a few days ago or maybe last week. We were talking about different markers of a religious spirit. And it just, all of this is flowing together with this scripture for me, just being, I guess, coming to life of the danger of pride, but also how that's going to be the thing that determines if we're actually going to be able to lead people and disciple people or hold people back and be a stumbling block, is how much humility we walk in, mm-hmm. how much we look in the mirror. I mean, really getting in our word, because the word is supposed to be the mirror that shows us that we have that plank.
It's it has the thought and the intent of the heart. Mm-hmm. So exactly. It's going to show you something.
Mm-hmm. It's going to show us. And I've really been trying to pay attention to that in my own life of, you know, when I hear a word, especially when you're praying for people, because you're praying specific things and it will come to your mind. Well, the Lord's speaking this over this person. But I've really been lately trying to think, God, let it hit me first. Let this word hit me first. Mm-hmm. Let it hit. Show me what's going on in me. Because I think so often we can get so caught up in, we are praying for others. We are being, you know, warriors. And we're in his army. We're doing spiritual warfare. We're all this. But it is so easy to fall into focusing on, even in the good way, even praying for others and focusing on those things, but not letting his word hit us first. And I don't know, it just spoke to me this morning, and maybe it can speak to some more people on the blind. Leading the blind isn't necessarily always ignorance. It can be. It can be not knowing, but it can also be, like it's saying here, if you have a log sticking out of your eye, you're going to be blind. If you have a log sticking out, you're not going to be able to see where you're going. All you can see to the right, to the left, you can see the ones next to you, but you're not going to be able to see straight ahead where the Lord's wanting to walk.
I think you're so right that it's pride.
Yeah.
That here is like the main root of this whole thing. Because, you know, if we go to the Word of God just for a hunger for what God has said, then it does its job.
Mm-hmm.
It begins to discern the thought and the intent of the heart. It begins to show us, to correct us and show us where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you go to the Word of God to see where someone else is, it has to be pride.
Yeah.
It has to be. It's that Pharisee who said, I'm glad I'm not like him.
That man.
Yeah.
You know, what's always stood out to me in this story is the fact that in verse 42, he said, first cast the beam out of your own eye, then you shall see clearly. Mm-hmm. So there is a time and a place for helping your brother get that out of his eye.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, that always stood out to me, that because everybody would be like, well, you're not supposed to ever say anything to anybody because that you're judging that. But you are. There are times.
It's God's order. You know, I think about times when my famous quote that everyone says, or Ethan let everybody know, when he told me I'm not his Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay. Man, I'll never forget that.
and it reminds me of that because, you know, I think we have this thing that rises up where we want to fix each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when we try to go to the Word for other people.
Right.
You know, and just to take out our frustration of, they're just not doing any of this. But it's such a deception, because God's order has always been, like you said, if we burn, then it's going to spark other people.
Right.
It's going to make other people want to burn. It's going to provoke a jealousy. What did he do with Israel and Gentile? Gentile provokes Israel to jealousy because of them burning for him. It's always
not
been
because they pointed
not because they pointed
fault.
It. And then Paul deals with that. He deals with, you know, don't think too highly of yourself. You were grafted in. You know, and we could think of that too with this verse of, you know, don't think too highly of yourself. Like, the only reason, if you are walking in a way that maybe is better than your brother, it's because the Lord has done that. He's removed something. He's removed a speck. But you might still have a log in the other eye. You know
one of the things, Jeannie and I talked about this on the radio the other day, but last week I kept hearing people say this phrase, freely you have received, freely give. You know, I kept hearing it. I mean, it was like every time I turned around, somebody was saying, Aaron said it, Jeannie said it twice, somebody else said it.
Only two times.
Yeah, but, well, you said it to me once in conversation, then when I brought it up, you said Jeremy had said it the night before,
right.
And then somebody else had said it.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I kept hearing it, freely you have received, freely give. And, you know, I've just thought about it. I've been thinking about it. I thought about it this morning, but, you know, what we're talking about here, too, you know, there is a pride thing going on. But one of the things that I realized is that when I stand in front of this kind of thing and I begin to work on this beam coming up out of my eye, these things that God has freely given me, that I am to freely give, that's my witness. You know, it's kind of like all the things that he gave me, he's building something. He's building a house. He's building a dwelling place for himself. And if we're not going to sit and look at this thing that there's a beam in my eye and that is the way I'm judging everybody or around it, that you don't really have anything to give there other than judgment, ridicule, you know, those kind of things. But when I stand in a place where I'm looking to receive freely from him, then I'm going to have something to freely give. And that's what this story is about, too, is that giving you something in order for you to give it.
That's good.
And, I mean, my whole life is like that with him, that I would receive.
I love that as we close. I love that verse. I guess I don't have my verse numbers. I just kind of have the passage, but a disciple is not above his teacher.
Yeah,
that's verse 40.
40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. I love that.
Right.
We're being conformed into the image of the Son.
Right.
Amen. And it does not yet appear.
Yes.
What we shall be.
That's right.
But we know that when he appears,
we'll be just like him.
We will be like him.
He that has this.
So go on and let him pull that log out. Just go ahead and let him pull it out. It's going to have to come out one way or another.
Might cause you a little discomfort, but
rip off the band-aid.
It is so worth it.
How do I know it's there? You're looking at somebody else.
Yep.
I love to laugh at the hard things. I really do. It is truly the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's showing us it's reminding us that we're really not as good as we think we
That's
are.
That's right.
Yeah, come on.
That I believe there is a lot of self-righteousness that permeates our own hearts, especially within the American church, because we have such what we would call this external successful lives. We have money, or we have nice houses, or we have our quote unquote life put together. And we think it's kind of made this achievement, like I've arrived or I've succeeded. And because I've succeeded or I've arrived, you need to follow me in my earthly pursuit of treasure or my earthly pursuit of gain. And I think because in America, we are the most prosperous nation ever to live. Like, it is unfathomable to understand how prosperous we are as a nation. And I think because we're there, and especially within the church, and peoples can follow the all the financial gurus and all these kind of things, we build our life upon our degrees, our money, our houses, our 401k, our cars, our kids' success in sports, all these things. And we look at those things and say, you should follow me. And yet, one of the woes of Matthew 23 is we'll go all the way across the world to make them twice as much the son of the devil as we are, because we're deceived by our riches. We're deceived by our treasures.
And a lot of books wrote right there.
Absolutely there is. How to become more prosperous, how to become more wealthy, how to become more successful, how to become, and all of this is under Abraham covenant, all these things. And we have pastors getting multiple private jets, and we've got all these kind of things. And I was sitting there the other day and I was thinking, you know what? I was on the stage fixing something, and I was sitting there going, it would be really nice to have this piece of equipment. I was telling Larry this last night. The Holy Spirit convicted me. And I was like, it'd be really nice to have this piece of equipment. It's like $100. It's not that big of a deal, but it would be nice. Necessary? No, but it would be nice. And immediately the Spirit of the Lord can just hit me. And he says, the question is not, is it nice? I think this is how it came to me, at least. The question is, does it facilitate the kingdom? Does it build the kingdom or does it build your kingdom? Mm-hmm. Which one are you building? Mm-hmm. Which one are you investing at that moment? Mm-hmm. And we invest a lot of quote unquote good things into good things, but we're not investing in the kingdom. And I feel like this speck in your own eye, it can be sin, but I also think it could be our success. It could be our lifestyles. It could be our sin. And one of the woes, again, is truly you will go across the world mm-hmm. to make them twice as much the son as the devil as you are. And think how many times I've been to Africa and I've seen where, just like in America, you got this denomination here and you got this denomination here and you got this denomination here and you got the Church of Christ here and the Church of God there and the Pentecostal church over there and you got the Methodist church there and the Baptist church over there. You know what? People go all the way across the ocean and they build their own little Baptist church there and they build their own little Pentecostal church there and they build their own little denomination there, and there's much segregation and denominationalism is over there.
Ouch.
We have traveled across the ocean to make them twice as much.
Ouch, ouch.
And we're building our own kingdoms. Mm-hmm. We're building our own kingdoms. And I'm telling you, if I could get the church to read anything, if I could ask the church to read anything in the United States of America, it'd be Isaiah 1. Your festivals and your new moons, I hate them. The very thing that was once liberty, celebration, and victory to Israel has now become detestable in the nostril of the Lord.
Yeah,
because he says your heart mm-hmm. is far from it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you was talking about us being a prosperous nation, which we are. And, you know, I did the dream. The dream is that you're okay if you manage to go to work and buy a house, and the ultimate goal is to pay everything off, and now you can take your ease, right? And I hit that spot, and I had to come face to face with, mm-hmm. now, after I worked for that, and then you look at other people, here we go with that log in your mm-hmm. eye, and you look at other people, and you think, they could have done the same thing I did and get there. You know, they're just lazy, or they just, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. We've judged people mm-hmm. that way because there's this log in our eye. We think somehow our success has made us spiritual, I guess. I don't know what we think. But I remember when I paid my house off, I came to the sobering fact, can you walk away from this? Jeannie, can you, if the Lord asks of you, can you walk away after putting 35 years, 40 years of your life into it? And, you know, I planted that tree and that tree. And can we, what have we done? But yet we've cherished
right
things other than him.
That's mm-hmm. right.
I've done
it. And think we're okay.
I've done it.
You know, think we're okay. I saw this man one time. He was one of those guys on the thing reacting to songs, music and stuff. And he come in, or his place came up on the screen, you know, and his walls were a really pretty color, and he had all the lighting, and he had candles burning in the background, you know, and he was speaking real calm, and just, he had a really good radio voice and everything, talking about how great everything was, and, you know, we're all going to make it, we're all doing great, you know, we're doing, and he was doing all that stuff, and then he started talking about the song, and I can't remember the song, but it was a Christian song. And he had never responded to a Christian song. And the song went something like, you know, you say you're this, you say you're that, you say that, you're the all these things, but you're not okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not okay.
Yeah.
And it came, and then the course would be, I'm not okay, I'm not okay. And I watched that man with all of his ambiance behind him, his atmosphere and everything, and that song started, and he just started to weep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when it was over, he could barely speak, and he said, I'm not okay. Jesus. I'm not okay. Because something had made him understand that all of this means nothing. This stuff, can you walk away from this? It means nothing, but it's holding you, and it's deceiving you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see that in the church. We see that people think, and I've been one of them, thought that I was okay as long as I went to church. church. Right. I'm going to church.
That's right.
I'm not that bad a guy. I'm going to church. At least I'm not like that person. I've been that person. And you know what? Even that, come to find out I wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. Come to find out the Lord had more for me. Come to find out that it required something from me. Come to find out that God had an expectation on my life because he planned it from the very beginning.
That was his thumbprint.
I have plans for you, he said. Come to find out I wasn't as okay as I thought I was. And as I begin to walk this out, still walking, still learning, still growing, still all of those things, he's still got more. Mm-hmm. Even now, after all these years, he still has more for me and my life and everybody else's. But until that moment hits you, you're not okay.
Yeah. I think the greatest question, we're going to go to break here and come back here and continue it, is which mirror are you looking mm-hmm. into to be your standard of okay? Mm-hmm. Is it the success of the world? Or is it the biblical understanding of what a godly life is?
Mm-hmm.
Because our striving is never to be good, is to be godly.
I know what our answer would be right away.
But the practicality.
But are we really taking the look?
Yeah.
Because that's where I'm at in my own life.
That's right.
That's it. So we're going to take a quick break here. Which church in Revelation had a little strength yet kept the word? Which church in Revelation had a little strength but kept the word? All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We are trucking right along on this November the 25th. Well, we are sitting here right around Thanksgiving. Thursday is the big day. We're going to continue our conversation but I do have to ask one question. It's a very spiritual question, Miss Jeannie.
I can tell.
It's a very spiritual one.
Again, I feel you.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish? We're going to get back into the serious.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
I don't know if I have a favorite, but I will say I never eat it any other time except Thanksgiving Day. I love cranberry sauce.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't like it any other time of the year.
No, I don't ever eat it. I never think to eat it.
But during Thanksgiving.
But Thanksgiving Day, I will have it.
You will have it.
I will. I'll be the only one. I'm the only one that eats it.
Miss Karen?
My favorite Thanksgiving dish is the turkey sandwich I have the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I don't know. Mine's hard. I still think mashed potatoes with mac and cheese mixed in with them. Just mm-hmm.
That's not Thanksgiving.
Anything with anything mixed in with mashed potatoes.
That's all about where you're at, man. Mm-hmm. That's not it.
Mashed potatoes.
You can have
with
mashed
corn.
Potatoes and macaroni and cheese anytime.
Yeah, I feel like caramel pie hits differently during Thanksgiving as well.
Right.
I'm in my love of blueberry cobbler right now, so hopefully I get that during Thanksgiving sometime.
I like pumpkin pie too.
Pumpkin pie. I've never had pumpkin pie. I need to try that one time.
You haven't?
I've never tried it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
My mother always made raisin pies, and I liked them except for the raisins. I asked her, I said, can you make it without the raisins? She said it wouldn't be raisin pie. I said it'd be better.
Be better pie.
That's what we're going to call it from now on, better pie.
Well, we are in a conversation about what Hannah brought it up in her Kingdom Corner about plank and speck. And, I think that definitely pertains to looking at everybody else's sin but refusing to address sin in our own life. But it also could mean religion, false doctrine. Right. It can facilitate all these things. How, you know, if your whole point is just to go all the way over to Africa and you're going to do an extension of your church because it's just about growing your church, you're missing the point of the kingdom. It's about the kingdom and how we can serve other churches and how we can serve and love other ministries and how we can celebrate what God's doing in each other's churches, and that we realize we're not the church, we're a church.
A church.
And it's never about just a singular church, because the a church has to serve the church. And if you are ever in isolation and you think that a church is bigger than the church, then you got it wrong.
That's amazing.
We've got to be singular focused on Jesus and realize that, you know, what one church is doing is what God's called them to do, what we're doing is what God's called us to do, but we're all serving the greater kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. It's never about Bethel. It's never about restoration. It's never about this or never about this or never about that. It's always about him and the kingdom of God, because there will be no Bethel fellowship in heaven.
That's right. And I've seen some of these lines being erased.
I have too.
I'm so thrilled with it. It makes me want to bop through every church down the corner just to say hi. I mean, I ain't kidding you, because I've seen some changes happening in some pastors and in some people that gives you real hope that we're going to get it. We're going to finally get it.
Well, it's the buildup, I think. You know, people keep talking about this is what it looks like now. This is what's going on. You know, it's the end of times are coming and everything. But I do believe what you all are talking about there is it's amping up.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely amping up. And, you know, people want to talk about how bad the world is. It is. But look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Here's
right
another
here.
Sign.
Look right here.
Yeah, here's another sign. And they'll know you by your love for one another.
Absolutely.
Come on.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Hey, I got another scripture I want to go with.
Let's go
back to where we were, what Hannah brought out.
In Luke, yes.
But I'm in 1 Timothy 6. This scripture was on my heart yesterday. I didn't know why, and I thought, well, I carried it up in here today, thinking that maybe it's something that needs to be said here, and I do feel like it is. It goes along with what we were talking about. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, he said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out.
Mm-hmm.
And having food and raiment, clothes, let us be content with it." Be content with it. Because if you go further than that, verse 9 says, that they that will be rich, and that word rich there can mean in a lot of different areas. We could spring off of that. But, you know, it's those things we go after that aren't kingdom things. It's those things we go after that don't do anything for our relationship with the Lord. And he said, you fall into temptation and a snare. You don't know. We're over into blind leading the blind again. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Whenever we see the word lust, we always think sexually. And it's not.
Mm-mm.
He said, you're falling into hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which, while some covet it, they've erred from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
We call it responsibility.
Right, stewardship.
We call it being a good steward. Yep. And God says you've erred from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're not supposed to do things. You know that. But he said, you're piercing your own self with many sorrows if that's what's the main thrust of your life. But the main scripture the main one I wanted was there. He said to be content.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are truly content
with just
knowing the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
I know him. I know him. I hear from him. He hears from me every day. We're talking all day long. He points me to things in his word. He's guiding my life by his spirit. He has my heart focused on other people instead of myself. You know, it's all of this. I'm so content.
Right.
I'm just got to say it I'm really content. He's enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's enough. So no matter what happens today, hard or devastating, I know that will I hurt? Will I grieve? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be content to know him. I will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage, people are listening, are you able to be content with what he's done for you and where your life has an expected end?
Mm-hmm.
Are you good with that? Are you good with that?
Because
that's, it'll come down to that many times in our life. It may come down to that in our lifetime, but for everybody, it may come down to that. You know, so I'm just encourage you, find your contentment in him.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, I was sitting there as a pastor, and I hear this word a lot, the word balance. I've said it, I've taught it. I declare it. I think there are certain things that we got to have balance in. For example, like Paul in Corinthians releases us to the spiritual gifts, but he also gives us guardrails not to fall off the cliff. So I think there is wisdom in that. But like one of the things that we keep saying, I've said this. So this is what I'm repenting of openly. That well, we just got to remain balanced, because if we become too earthly minded, too heavenly minded, we will not be earthly good, or something like that. And I may have never supported that doctrine fully, but in practicality, we use this language of, well, we just got to, we need the spiritual, but we got to hone it down and do normal business too. And I'm looking at the New Testament, and this is where I'm repenting of. I see no neutral or no holding back or no, well, we just got to go about business as normal. Or I don't see any, you know what I see? I see the apostles who were like, these Hellenistic Jews, they were frustrated because they feel like their widows are being left out in the distribution. And the apostle says, let's raise up somebody to go help with tables. Mm-hmm. Let's go help. Let's raise up somebody that can go give out the money and go out, make sure it's distributed correctly, so we don't have to leave the place of prayer and fasting. I mean, prayer and the word and teaching and all that kind of stuff. And so we say, well, that's the deacons. All right, so now you raise up the deacons. The elders are going to be the spiritual one. The deacons are going to be the natural ones. That's what we've all heard it taught like this. Like, sure. These are the ones that are going to do the work. They're going to do the tables. They're going to do this. And we think, well, there's the business side of the kingdom coming. And you know, the only thing we have evidence after that is that once they laid hands, many priests repented, because the elders, when the apostles laid hands on the deacons and they got put into ministry. But the only thing we have about Stephen, who we say was the first deacon who was waiting tables, we never have evidence he waited a table. You know what we do have evidence of? Full of grace and power.
Yes.
Was doing signs and wonders among the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We never have evidence that he just went about business. He may have waited tables, but signs and wonders was amongst him, because he said, if we're going to raise up these men, it was not going to be men that had business education. These are going to be men full of the Holy Spirit.
Right. That's right.
And they are going to be full.
I think that should be every area.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Every area of the church.
Who's to say that those signs and wonders didn't happen at that table?
That's right. And, you know, it's like,
I think he headed that way.
It's extraordinary to me, and I did say this Sunday morning, Jesus came, broke the box that I'm going to tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll resurrect it again. They think he's thinking about the real temple, which the real temple is going to be judged, because the system of Israel's being judged. Mm-hmm. They rejected the Messiah. But he's sitting there, I mean, he's on the cross, and the first thing that happens at his death is an earthquake happens, that the veil is torn, and the glory of God is departing the temple. No longer is the glory of God in the building. Mm-hmm. So Jesus literally died to bring the glory of God in me. Let the kingdom of God come in the earth as it is in heaven in me. The kingdom of God is going to come through me, because God Almighty now lives in me, doesn't live in a box in a room. So we took what Jesus did, and then we took 2,000 years ago to build bigger boxes and to build bigger buildings. And we say, if God's only encountering you here within the system instead of in you, and so we've turned the ecclesia into a building instead of the ecclesia into a called out group of people that is to go and preach. That's not to say we don't meet together. We assemble together. We grow together. We equip together. We are edified together. We are encouraged together. We should come and pray and seek the Lord together. But what we do on Sunday morning is not the church. It's the equipping of the church.
Right.
The church
That's
is
right.
what we do on
That's
Monday,
right.
and church is what we do on Tuesday, and church is what we do on Thursday and Wednesday. We are and it's not about, that's not to say we're out of the church. No, we need to gather and assemble for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. But stop calling Sunday morning church. Sunday morning is really the equipping of the church. And the church is those who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and are disciples of Jesus Christ, teaching and instructing and baptizing in the way.
Jesus said, it doesn't come by observation.
No.
Where is the kingdom? Show us the kingdom. Show us the kingdom. He said, doesn't come that way.
Yep.
Where it's within you.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of heaven is within you. Man, that'll preach all 96 hours right there.
Very easy.
I keep talking about these kinds, but Sandy Patty, you remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary singer. But she sang this song one time, and it was about what you're talking about right there. And she talked about how people looked on the street. They looked for him here. They looked for him there. But they never thought to look inside of themselves because that's where he is. He's the kingdom of heaven has drawn nigh unto thee. The kingdom of heaven has come unto thee. He is here. This is where it's at. It's not out there. It's not out there. It's here.
Yep.
It's all in here.
Yeah.
He's knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Will you answer?
And you know, we say, I just want to have church. And I think the Lord's saying, I want you to be the church.
Mm-hmm, that's
it's
right.
It's just like we want to see revival, and the Lord's like, you are the revival. You are the awakening in the earth. You are filled with the glory of God. You can do in excess of what I've done. And why? Because he was one man filled with the Holy Spirit on the earth. Now there is millions filled with the Holy Spirit. How much greater work shall we be doing as the kingdom of God today? And for me personally, I know this is preachy for a second, just excuse me. But what we do on Sunday morning, the fire tunnel is not good church. The fire tunnel, or the praying and the laying hands on the saints, for the teaching of the Word of God, the time we gather together and worship and feel the Shekinah glory fall, that is not the good church. That is the equipping for the church to be the church, because really that manifestation should never stop at the altar. Mm-hmm. That manifestation should go into the addict's home, your next door neighbor.
That's right.
That manifestation should happen in the marriage next to you that's falling apart. That manifestation should change the way your kids are being at home. That manifestation of his glory is meant to do something in you that empowers you to walk in the fullness of all that God has for you, not to lift your hands and have a good little emotional session in a Sunday morning service. It's so that something so deep in the soul of who you are is forever transformed, and the spirit of your being is empowered. Mm-hmm. You are empowered. The kingdom of God is coming from within
you.
And the problem is this, there's always going to be a stream flowing from your life. It's always. Mm-hmm. Every single day when you walk out somewhere, there's a stream that's coming out of your belly. Mm-hmm. The problem is, what stream is coming out? Is it a living stream, or is it a stream of death? Is it a stream of blessing, or is it a stream of curses? Is it a stream of healing, or is it a stream of depression and anxiety and all these complaining and whining and bickering and slandering and gossip? Or is it the stream of peace, joy, and righteousness, which is the kingdom of God? We've got to quit putting and excluding the box to only in Sunday morning.
Right. Jesus said, there's something coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
All the time.
I don't care. You think you're playing it safe. You just don't say nothing to nobody. You just stay to yourself. You just said a whole lot. You know, but he said, if the light that is in you,
mm-hmm.
every one of us has something projecting from us. Always. He said, but if that what is projecting from you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. So, you know, we always hear light, we're the light of the world. You're the light of the world, period. The world reads you. They see you. We can truly be the light that draws men and women to him. We can be that. Or we can be the one that all they can see is, well, they're just like everybody else.
You know, the Lord asked me a while back, he said, are you going to choose to live, or are you going to choose to die? And, you know, he wasn't talking about physically. He was talking about spiritually. Am I going to choose to live in him, or am I going to die without it? You know, and I think, you know, it says here that... there's one thing in the verses that you read, and it talked about, the places where we pursue these other things, that we're looking into a place where we're dying. You know, the spiritual life, the life in the Lord is the life of life. It's a life that lives. It's not one that falters and fails away. And you know, love of money is the root of all evil, and it's going to take you somewhere, and it's going to take you to the place of death spiritually, and it can even take you to the place of death mentally. You know, those things outside of the Lord are things that can bring you into captivity. Disobedience and unwillingness toward him bring you into a place of death.
In that scripture, that first scripture there, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the one that he lit off inside of me yesterday, and even this morning it was still on my mind. Hebrews 13:5, going along with that, it says, let your conversation be, and that word conversation, that's about all of you.
Right.
That's not just your words, but it's all of you. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't let your life be without you always after something other than the Lord, other than his kingdom, be content, he said, with such things as you have. For he said, here's why you can be content right here. This is why. I'll never leave you.
Right.
I'll never forsake you. That means everything that you need, everything that needs to happen today is not only available. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is within you. He's right. I'm not leaving, he said. I'm not going to forsake you. He didn't just say, I'm not leaving. He's saying, I'm not going to forsake you. So that's why you can be totally content with everything that you have, everywhere that you find yourself today. You can be content because of this one thing. Right. He's on the inside.
That's right. Proverbs 15:16 goes, it says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
Almost every person that seeks after those things will amen the fact that you've got a lot of trouble in your life trying to keep up with all of it.
Right.
I'm facing that right now.
Take care of it. You got to take care of that stuff.
Yeah, it calls you every day to make sure that you take care of it above everything else. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's crazy when really the Lord is the only thing. Mm-hmm. I need to take care of my relationship. I need to take care of, make sure my ears are cleaned out and I'm hearing him clearly today. Mm-hmm. That's what I got to take care of.
Keeping that plank out of your eye.
Yeah. So is this a good time?
It's always a good time.
Okay. I'm not going to totally switch gears, but I got to share this. It's still fresh. Last night, we were Celebrate Recovery, and we were getting ready to do worship. We'd already practiced, and you know how you do, and all the things. And when we came back from eating the meal, nothing worked. I mean, nothing. No microphones, no instruments. There's nothing. And it's kind of funny because we used to say this over here all the time at every church I've ever been at. You know, whenever the technical stuff goes crazy, I always say this. Well, can we just unplug and go down there? I always said that. I mean, how old am I? It'd
be a lot simpler that way, wouldn't it?
But last night, we did it. We just, okay. And we just unplugged and went down on the floor and called the people in. And they all came and they all surrounded us and we're all standing up at the altar together on the same plane with each other. And we began to worship without no microphones, without no speakers, without no monitors.
Kind of rings back to what Aaron was talking about with this piece of equipment, what the Lord said to him about it. You know, it might be nice to have it.
Yeah.
But is it needful for the advancement of the kingdom?
Yeah.
You know, what you did, you all didn't need it. You went on.
We got all these things that we think we have to have. We really do. And because the world can't make them fast enough for us. They want to dangle something in front of us constantly. And there's nothing wrong with things. Y'all get that.
Right.
But, man, the simplicity of what last night did for me. I mean, it was the only thing that would have made it any better is if we could have started a fire.
Yeah. Well, you know, those things have a way of distracting you and agitating you, you know, distracting you from where you were first headed, you know, and they distract you, but they also irritate you. So that's what you stand up there with at the beginning of what you were doing.
How many people have you seen lose their peace over the can't get this to come on? Just throw it. Somebody light a candle.
Right.
And let's just sit down here and talk to the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're blessed to have an incredible sound system here. We've really did a lot of work and we've got a lot of it's really convenient, our sound system now, with monitors and all that kind of stuff. It's just another game.
Yeah, I get it.
It's a but it's like I don't even know how to say this because I don't want to sound, people think I sound really critical. I'm just trying to, sometimes I verbally process what God's doing in my heart openly because of the position that we're in with this, you know, opportunity to do this 2-hour broadcast. But there is this level of just spiritual frustration with the superstardom in the kingdom. Like, and I don't know how to else process, like, everything is about stages and platforms. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know. I would love nothing more than myself. This is me. This is only me. Just to take the stage out. And we'll put the worship band just right there on ground level. Let them sing. Why does the preacher has to be in an... Now you can say, well, the word of God needs to be an exalted... The word of God's going to be exalted in the hearts of men, regardless of where it's positioned in the church. Mm-hmm. And it's just we put people on stages. And Jason Upton said it best in that one song, Dying Star. How can they see me when all they see is you? Mm-hmm. And we have, like, praise God, we're packing arenas with the glory of God, with Christian music. Praise God. Like, praise God. And there is revival going on among the young people, and music has played a big part of that. I don't want to take away from any of that. I want to like, praise God. Like, right. If they're not against you, then they're for you.
That's right.
But I don't think... I want to be careful to get to the place to where we lose the weightiness of His presence. And look, I will shout with the best. I will run and I'll dance with the best. I'll do it all. But I never want to lose that weightiness of His presence. And I don't want to be entertained. Like, I don't want to be. I want to be equipped. I want to be in. I'm praying for Isaiah moments in the body of Christ to where we see the Lord high and exalted. Mm-hmm. And we see the train of His robe filling the temple. And we're not sitting there going, wow, we did this. It was our drum beat. It was our song. It was our music. We got it right this week, guys. Knocked it out of the ballpark. No, we're like, I don't know how this happened, but woe is me, for I'm an unclean man. Mm-hmm. Or I'm a man with that holy humbleness, that moments of there's no way that my guitar playing made this.
That happened.
There's no way this light show stimulated this. This is something so holy and so real. And can that happen in a moment, in a bigger... Absolutely, it happened at Passion with that one moment during Angus Dio where it wrecked the whole band. Right. They're on their faces. The crowd is singing and worshiping. There's that sunbeam that just comes... It's not even... If I'm understanding correctly, I don't know if it's supposed to be in that place at that point, but the light is just there on an empty stage, basically, because the singers and the musicians can't even do anything. They're laid out in the middle of the floor. Mm-hmm. To me, those are the moments that change people's lives.
And we're so used to the other that when a moment like that tries to come, we miss it.
Right.
I think because we think something's supposed to fill that silence right there. Something was supposed to, something must be off. Something must be, no, there wasn't anything wrong or off. There wasn't.
There has to be an understanding too. You know, Jeannie, again, she asked that question. The Lord asked her, can you walk away from it? And it's not so much that you have to walk away from that, but you've got to be able to walk away understanding that same thing that happened there can happen here, somewhere else without it. You know, the Lord, He doesn't change, and He's gonna pour out wherever someone's looking for Him to pour out, you know? And it's not, you don't have to have those perfected days, those perfect music, perfect sound system. It's not that it's bad.
You follow me around, you ain't gonna see much of it.
But see, the thing of it is that you've got to be in a place in and of yourself that you can walk away from that knowing that it can still show up. That presence can still show up wherever you are. It's not about that, it's where you are.
You know what I thought of? Sometimes, especially if you got technical stuff going on and all that, people will say, we can't hear you back here. And I'm thinking, why don't you move up front?
Yeah, come on up here then.
Get up here.
Yeah.
How bad do you want to get up here with us, you know?
I feel like this is a part two of Sunday sermon.
It was. It kind of is. Jeannie did it. Jeannie brought it up, not me.
It happened, man. It happened. Yeah. It happened in a pure, raw way. And And it happened in what most people would say it was a mistake, a failing moment. For me, it was the most wonderful moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing failed. Nothing. I couldn't. I could have stayed there all night.
Right.
I could have stayed right there. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to get back to some of that. We got to get back to, you know, we was thinking about the performance side of things. People don't, maybe don't even mean to anymore, but we as worshipers, we got to bring it. And when I say we got to bring it, we're not going to bring the song that the crowd goes wild on. We're going to bring the song that we go wild on.
Yeah.
We've got, our hearts have to be so invested again so that the people behind us are looking at with us, standing with us or whatever, want to be in the mix. Mm. They want to get up to the up here with us and begin to praise him because we've set the tone. We've set, yeah. We've set it. This is going to be a high praise right here. And I can't even see you because my eyes are on him.
Yeah.
It's going to be a high praise. And you're going to, are you going to join in? Or are you going to stay back in the back and say, I can't hear?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, get to the front.
Mm.
Come on,
amen.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. This is one thing I'm just verbally processing out loud is just moving forward with the church in America, whatever that looks like. Not trying to raise professionals, but raise disciples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are never called to be professionals. We're called to be sons.
Yeah.
And we're called to be daughters, and we're called to be lovers of his presence. We're called to be the beloved. And I feel like what we've done is we keep feeding the consumerism in the church. And that's why we feel like we have to see, like, even what you said there, and it's the, we have to protect our language. We said, bring it. Because when you say bring it, the consumerism says, oh, we got to bring our best. We got to bring our A game. We got to bring the most talent. We got to bring all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. But the thing we bring is the anointing from our prayer closet on Tuesday evening. Yeah. What we bring is the overflow of the relationship and the communion with the Holy God. What we bring is anointing and glory from the encounters that we've had on Saturday or the encounter we had at 6 a.m. on Sunday because we rose up early and mm-hmm. sought the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what we're bringing. We're not bringing our builds. We're not bringing our talents. We're not bringing our extreme heart. All that's great and all that can serve the kingdom. But if that's what you're bringing absent of the anointing, you're a professional.
Yeah.
And you are a musician. And that's right. Solely all you are. But and there needs to be some kind of oil on the instrument, like when David mm-hmm. prayed for Saul. I mean, when David played for Saul, it didn't, I mean, Saul had his issues, but it silenced it. It silenced it. Mm-hmm. And my question for you, is there talent or is there oil? Mm-hmm. You can have talent and oil, but you can also have talent without oil. And I'm telling you, when we give our talents and drip them in the oil of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be amazing what happens right. in the body of Christ.
Yeah, and if we do this, you know, you think of it. We look at the church and we look at the people, and you know, why they're just sitting there like a bump on a log. We're worshiping Jesus. Come on, you know, this is the place when we become those people. When we mm. are those people, this see, we're creating an atmosphere for those people mm-hmm. to begin to walk. They may not know how to do that, but they'll be overcome by His presence. They'll mm. get to the place where they want to be in it. Mm-hmm. They want to learn. They want to worship with. You know, they want to go further. They want to go out on Monday because they heard what you said about the encounter you had with leading somebody to the Lord or whatever happened on Monday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not hearing it from mm-hmm. it because we haven't been doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, here and there, you got your pastor, you know, he's probably got a story or two every week of what the encounters that the Lord's put him in. But we need the people, the mm-hmm. people, all of us need to go ye therefore.
Mm-hmm.
Every it's, one of us.
It comes back to that word weighty too. And you know what? I mean, it's a great honor to carry the things of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's weighty. And there needs to be a reverence for that, regardless of what you're doing inside of the church or the church building, you know, regardless of what your position is, there needs to be a weightiness on it. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a weightiness on my life and in my thinking of understanding that when I walk into a store, I'm carrying the weighty things mm-hmm. of God with me. It's just, it's so, it's, I mean, what is even the word? important is not, I mean, it is so insignificant to talk about when you talk about the things of the Lord and the responsibility that is in there. It, I mean, what is the right word to even describe that? Mm-hmm. Weighty is a good word, but I mean, it's just, what a high honor.
Yeah.
An honor.
And, you know, for pastors and worship leaders and musicians, we don't just need to learn our craft.
That's right.
And our talent, whether that be speaking, singing, playing, or running sound or doing whatever. It's got to be able to be, how do I handle and submit this into the hands of the Holy Spirit? And how do I cultivate an ear to be able to receive direction and to be able to flow in the stream of the anointing? And I remember one morning before Sunday morning service, the Lord just said, hey, I felt, it's like 9:40, and I felt like the Lord just said, go play piano. I'm like, oh, okay, I love playing piano. I'll do it all the time. And if Heather would let me play on Sunday mornings, I'd play. Like, I love playing the keys. And so I sit there, and I just go up there. I think it's just me and Jacob maybe in the sanctuary at this point. And I'm just playing, and I'm just, and for me, I just, whenever I'm just not really playing anything, I always go to the chord progression of Let It Rain just because it's so familiar to me. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much oil on that chord progression.
It is a chord thing.
And so I just play it. And before long, I know Kaylee ended up in the sanctuary. And she was like, I just feel like the Lord told me to come over so early. So she came over. Well, she starts to sing. And I'm playing. And I remember she's just singing prophetically. And I'm just playing by the ear of the Spirit. And we're just flowing. And I remember people kept trickling in. People kept trickling, and we didn't stop. Like, we weren't stopped. I think I even told Kaylee, come get a microphone. Like, just go for it. Mm-hmm. And so we're just basically in our own little flow, and people starting to come in. And I see people kind of like hitting the altar. People's doing this. And then, and this is not to be anything to anybody. This is not that. But I told this one person was going to, you know, somebody's going to open up. And I just said, don't leave this moment.
Right.
And they left it. Mm-hmm. And because we sometimes feel like we have to get to our announcements, or we got to get to our programs, we got to get to our agenda, and we left a moment of the anointing.
I've used this story so many times. It was right here at Bethel. I was in the band, and we were the service had ended, and you know how we have that middle aisle, and as I was up there playing, because we always continued to play music as people left. And I had these people were in front of me, and they were just piling out of the pews, going down the middle. Everybody's going, a few of them's talking here and there. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm ready to move now.
Mm-hmm.
But stepped out of it.
But we stepped out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know, can you pick when that's going to happen? I think the Spirit of God can move on us to hold up a minute, and we ignore it because we think it's time to leave.
Yeah.
We're too structured.
I do.
But then there's times that I think I've learned to flow, and we've hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And and it wasn't about us, but it was, remember one time here, Heather was leading. This was a while ago. It's probably 2014, maybe early 15. But she's leading a song, and Brother Ron was supposed to come up there after that song. We couldn't find them. And I'm playing guitar that day. And it was time for the offering. And he's actually, we finally found him. He's like kind of almost under a pew praying.
Right.
And we were like, me and Heather just kind of looked at each other, and we're like, okay. So I remember just taking the G chord on my guitar, and I just started to play the G chord. That's all I played. I just kept playing the G chord. And I was kind of like picking around a little bit, and I was just kind of we really didn't know what to do, but there was this expectation building it. Mm-hmm. And then I remember Heather came in behind me with the keys. And so now me and her's going, and all of a sudden the bass, this is nothing. We're not playing. This is not, we don't even know what we're doing.
Right.
And from a G chord, because we were not just going to sit there, and we just started to flow with the Holy Spirit. Literally, it turned into one of the most magnificent encounters I believe I've ever seen in this church. And it was all because we didn't leave too early.
Right.
And it's like the Lord had Brother Ron miss the cue, because the cue was there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
the cue was, it's time to move on. Like, now we've got to move on to the offering. Now we got to move on to this. The cue is there. And sometimes we cue the Holy Spirit right out the door because we're worried about our structure or our time frame. And we don't know how to wait upon the Lord.
That's right.
When you begin to feel uncomfortable, in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost there.
There he is.
You're almost there. We could, Jeremy, we tease all the time, but he calls that the HG cord.
HG.
But you know, you are. Your flesh, it takes a minute. It yeah. just takes a minute. You, and you don't realize, you don't start immediately in the spirit. You start with the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But just hang on a minute, because once that flesh starts getting real uncomfortable,
you know you're going there.
There. Yeah. That's a good one.
You're almost mm-hmm. there. You're walking in it. But I do think that you're talking about that altar, that plaque on that altar, and those things about walking away from it, you know. Can you just lay down your life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might sound a little familiar, but, you know, just lay down your life. You know, we're not going
to. Come on.
And there's not anything I have that he didn't give me. You know, we talk about our talent. We talk about our abilities. We say we can do this, and we say that we can do that. It might be that way, but it didn't come by your own stuff. It came from him. There's nothing you have that he didn't give you. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Every good gift.
What do you have that you did not receive?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if we would just sit in that and realize that that's where it comes from, so that's... If it comes from there, then guess what's everything else is behind it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. We've got to realize that we don't have anything except what we have been given.
Mm-hmm.
In and of ourselves, we have nothing.
Yeah, and
no
I don't want to step right or left without him first telling
mm-hmm.
me. I want to stay in his presence until I get direction and get guidance and fully prepared to walk out what he has for us. Because yes. You know, we need the Word and we need the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God brings the Word to teach and instruct and guide and to reproof and correct us. But the Holy Spirit is there so that I may walk in the Spirit, that I may walk in the manifestation of who He is. He will tell us to go left if we listen.
Right.
He will tell us to go right if we listen.
And He'll tell you to hold up a minute.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. He'll tell you to switch songs if
That's
you let
right.
Him.
That's
he'll tell
right.
you to He'll tell you to switch sermons. He'll tell you to Miss Karen may have one thing coming in on Monday night, and by the time she walks through that front door, the Holy Spirit, yeah. He'll tell you.
That's right.
Hey, this ain't the word for the moment right
He's
now.
Done. Y'all, that's relationship right
like,
there. That's it.
I told you that one time. I mean, this was the wildest one, and I think I've shared it, but I'm coming to church to teach Sunday school. And on the way, I get over there by Nick's boat dock. I'm driving down the road, and I hear the Lord say, "You know, you never have taught out of Zephaniah before." I had no idea where Zephaniah. I knew it was in there. I just, I don't know that I'd ever read it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, I had something, but that's what He said. You never have taught out of Zephaniah before.
Yep.
I'm like, of course he did.
Oh, great. Yeah, great.
I love him.
I do too.
Yep.
So we went to see. We went to see what was in there. And you taught on it that day too.
Well,
you preached out of Zephaniah.
Yeah,
that
I remember
day.
That.
Uh-huh.
It's just when we allow the Lord to speak mm-hmm. and listen. Because I know even Saturday night during our prayer meeting, it was probably about the second song in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was towards the second end of the second song. I felt like the Lord said, I didn't plan to play drums. I played drums in the practice just to get some EQ in right for Brandon the next morning, because I had switched some stuff on the monitor, but I didn't plan to play. And I felt like the Lord said, "I just pray. You go ahead and just pray your prayer real fast, and then I just want you to go on the drums the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to get out of the way."
Mm-hmm.
And because unfortunately, I know when the pastor's there, everybody's going to look to them to do this and to do that,
mm-hmm.
and then other gifts won't be activated. And the reason I ended up going to the drum is not just because I wanted to play or I thought it would sound better with them. I felt like I was led there to get out of the way so other people could manifest their,
right.
you know, like walk in what God's called them to walk in and the giftings God's called them to walk in. And we have to be, I'm trying by the grace of God to learn those moments, to try to hear in those moments, because, you know, it's, if I just need to, I would have left if he told me to. If he would have said,
mm-hmm.
"I need you to leave. Like, I just need you to leave." I'll leave. Like, at this point, I'll do anything that I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me this, because I want to see the glory of God. And I want to see the glory of God come, not just in our sanctuary, but in our people's lives, in our marriages,
mm-hmm.
In our children more than I can even express. I want to see the glory of God come in our teenagers.
Yeah.
And sometimes the thing we do in those moments is sit down at a table and say, how do we do it, guys?
That's right.
What do we do? What adjustments do we need to make? What do we need to change? What do we need to move this person around? Do we need to do that? Instead of just sitting in the altar.
Right.
And saying, Lord, I can make adjustments, mm-hmm. but what I build, I must keep. But mm-hmm. when you make the adjustment, it's changed.
It's sustained.
Now you're
forever.
Back to Stephen.
Yep.
You're back. Mm-hmm. We went all the way around, and we're back to, what do we got? We got to seek the Lord about the
seek
next
the
move.
Lord.
I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Not who even, these men are.
No matter what you
tables.
Think it is, how simple that you think the job is, that they're still going to be on... placed in a place that God intends to use. Mm-hmm. How mm-hmm. serious is it?
Mm-hmm.
So we say, who do you need in this spot?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we and seek
he's
you.
The
we
one
seek
that,
you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, we don't do it, but we should.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you think about Todd getting ready to go on this missionary trip and everything. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go there. Never have been, probably never will be. Won't say, will not.
Don't ever say never.
But you know, the thing is that we pray for him. And, you know, in doing so, we put our hand on it. And we're there. We're there because we've put our words and our hand is in there because we've prayed about it and everything. And it's the same thing with our church. We need to be praying for our church leaders and each other. Don't forget to pray about for me. Don't forget, I need your prayer. And so do these other people. You know, the people that are sitting in the back row need us to pray for them. We might not know their name. We might not see them directly, but we need to pray for them because they've stepped into a house where we're going to speak his name.
Yeah.
And
always start at the back row.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just do. It's a great place. You can have a lot of fun on that back row.
You can.
Yeah.
I feel like I've talked a lot, but on
that's
for
okay.
me
we
a
like
Tuesday.
It.
But can I say this one more?
Sure.
Because I feel like what happens a lot is revival and moves of God are started by prayer, and then somewhere we do try to put our hand
that's
on.
That's right. I agree.
And I'm not talking about Miss Karen talking about. She's talking about with prayer and giving, but like. You know what I love when I look at this from more of a bird's eye view? There's 120 that gather in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
They pray for, 10 days almost? Mm-hmm. And seek the Lord in that room. The Lord shows up. Peter preaches a message. Thousands of people get born again.
Yep.
All right. So in the modern day church, the next day we're coming to the table and say, what do we do now, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And do you know what we see? In chapter 3, immediately the day after, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
They were going back to prayer.
Yeah.
Because prayer started this thing, prayer is going to keep this thing, and prayer will be the thing that sustains this
thing.
What
did they end up saying? We got to give ourselves to the Word and the ministry of the Word and prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm spent a lifetime trying to fulfill that scripture.
Mm-hmm. The Word. And prayer. Mm. But as I know us. I know us in a modern day American church. We would have been like, where do we call? Yeah. What live stream do we start? What book do we write? What program do we go on? How do we get the word out about what God's doing? What do we do? How do we keep this alive? How do we brand this? How do we get the word out of here? What all these, this is what we're doing in the American church. And yet Peter and John... Peter preaches a message of thousands of people get born again, and the first thing they do when they wake up the next morning, well, John?
Let's go pray.
Let's go pray.
You know, it's that place, you know, some of the thing that they it said in the Bible, you know, it'll say, they knew they were unlearned men, but they could tell they had been with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then they would say, how do they speak with such authority?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like to think about all those things, you know. I'd love for somebody to say to me, I can tell she's been with the Lord.
Come on.
Come on, that's right.
I'd love for somebody to say that about me. But, you know, how did they get there? They got there through the word and prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want to talk about a lot of these things. I like to see signs and wonders following after me. Surely and goodness is mercy, and mercy are back there. So I want to see some signs. I want to see greater things than these. But how do you get there? The word and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's it.
Communion with him.
I want to see his presence in my life and in the life of his church.
Mm-hmm.
Make the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Walk into the room and make the difference. Not, oh, we'll pray for you. We're going to pray for you. And 6 months later, how's that guy doing? Well, he's not doing so good yet.
I
want to see his presence just absolutely shake the room. Mm-hmm. You're either going to run off or run up.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I want to see the power of his name, the power of who he is in us. Have answers for people. Have deliverance, real deliverance for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I want to be able to feed them something other than myself.
Yeah. There you go.
Something higher word. Than us.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Hannah, you've been quiet. You got anything you want to add?
No, I've had a lot of people texting me in, though, of how good this morning has been. And I think it's just the common theme or the message that I keep, you know, thinking on from this morning is that the Lord is wanting us to burn so that other people, like, can come along with us. Because it goes along with the worship leading. It goes along with our personal lives. But I just thought about, and we know that, but I just thought about how there's people who are in bondage and they're waiting on a light, like a light from a fire, like somebody else's fire. Not that somebody else's fire is going to get them where they need to be. It has to be their own fire, but that they're waiting on that spark. Because I know that there's people in my life who they've been just on fire for the Lord and full of, you know, having their personal revival. And it did stir up that jealousy in me. It stirred up that jealousy. Not a bad jealousy. A good jealousy.
Right. One that made you want to go after it.
Mm-hmm. And it pulled me out of my bondage. Like, it pulled me out of my lukewarmness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about that. That other people getting set free from lukewarmness or bondage or wherever they're at is dependent on the ones who have this revelation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They waited for
how many? So it is a weighty thing.
How many years did they wait for a Messiah? How many years was it that before the Messiah showed up? He showed up. Now people rejected him, but he showed up. Now they're waiting for him in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that is something that we really need to weigh out.
Yeah.
They're waiting for that person that's going to show them, or they're going to see there's hope for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people out there that don't believe that.
Yeah.
They don't believe that.
I was thinking about our kids, too, because if anybody knows kids, they don't like to be bored.
No.
They do not like to be bored. They get bored very easily. And I do think that there's like that we need to have the fear of the Lord. But there is an excitement in the spirit, you know. Like, I do think we need that excitement back. Not to manipulate them, but the true excitement that comes from the joy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that will provoke them to want.
Amen. You know, you said that and it just lit off inside of me there. You know, we talk about the fear of the Lord, which I think many have left off.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a result to having the fear of the Lord.
That's right.
There is a place where you walk in it, and it's no longer we need the fear of the Lord. No, we have the fear of the Lord. And we can walk in what that brings to your life, because it brings his promises, it brings his life. Because if you walk in the fear of the Lord in its right place, then you don't even have to talk about it anymore.
Right, that's right.
You just walk in it, you know.
Amen.
I heard this definition of grace one time, and it said that grace is a divine influence on a heart. And the reflection of it in life. And I think that is something that applies to everything that is of God, is that there is a divine influence on my life, that that is taking place in my heart, and it's from Him. You know, there's a divine influence of Him showing me and teaching me of grace and mercy and all of those other things. Those are things that He's doing to influence my heart. And there is a reflection of that in a life. You don't have to talk about it anymore. It's seen and it's heard, even if you never say the word. Even if you never speak of grace, it's still seen because you've been apprehended.
Yeah.
You've been apprehended.
Amen. Well, we're out of time this morning. Miss Jeannie, Miss Karen, we got about 30, 45 seconds. Anything you want to say you're thankful for before you head off? Me and Hannah's got tomorrow, so we can do it.
Oh, I'm not in tomorrow.
You are.
I am.
You are coming in.
I'm being thankful tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
She's double.
So you're coming tomorrow.
Today, it's be content.
Okay.
All right. Be content. I like that.
All right. Well, so we're gonna see Miss Jeannie tomorrow then. All right. I love this. Yeah. I love this.
Look, even if I wasn't on tomorrow, I am now.
Yeah. That's okay. I'll take you any day, Miss Jeannie. I'll take
she
you
is.
Any day.
We just haven't joined our people together yet.
Okay.
So we got people in store for tomorrow.
Okay. I love this. Great. I love this. All right. Well, we're out of here for the day. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.